know, we've been building up to this for a number of weeks, but tonight we're going to talk about the kingdom lost. And, you know, it's one of these moments from which, you know, in fairness, the Jewish people, as we've indicated, never really have recovered. We never have experienced anything like what we experienced during the days of David and Shlomo. And there's plenty to be learned from, even if you could see it coming, and even if, you know, last week we got up to that moment when the people return on the third day, as Rechavam had instructed them, there's still, you know, plenty to be gleaned, as always, by, you know, a careful reading of the Psukim. So we'll take a look at that together. Just share my screen, and then we'll be ready to go. Okay, so let me begin with a passage from the Gemara in Sanhedrin regarding Rechavam and who Rechavam was, and use that as a way of framing our shir tonight. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Kol Klalo Shekil al David as Yoav, when David cursed Yoav as a result of his unjustified murders of Avner and subsequently Amasa, which we've discussed. The sky move is Zaro Shel David. So all of these things reverberated back to David's own household. And now the Gemara details them. Al Yikaris mi beis Yoav Zav, one, Umitzora, the leper, Machzik Bepelech, Vinofel Becharev, Vechaser Lechem, five different curses, right, that there should be a Zav. Zav is literally somebody who's, you know, in some ways spiritually or medically ill, that they're having this flow from their body, which is associated with tumah hayotze migufo, something, a severe form of tumah, which requires one not only to leave the machane shechina, but the machane levia as well. One can't be on Har Habayis, which is, I think, a very important idea. So Zav u'mitzara machzik b'pelach milfa b'chare v'chaser lechem Zav me'rechavam d'chsiv. We'll talk about this pasuk. It's the sort of the culmination of our learning today. V'hamelech rechavam his ameitz la'los b'merkava lanus Yerushalayim, that Rechavam fled for his life to Yerushalayim. U'ksiv v'chol ha'merkav, you notice the same word, merkava v'chol ha'merkav asher yirkav alav hazav yitma. Okay, so we have here this idea that Rechavam is a Zav. Now again, the imagery here of a Zav means somebody, both in the physical and spiritual sense, who's afflicted, who's again far from, you know, the image of a virile and strong person. So, you know, Rechavam is anything but, right? He's being presented in that way. But this idea of tumah hayotze migufo, I think, is a very important idea, and I want to, you know, try to come back to that. It's an important halachic concept, I think it actually is meant to resonate on multiple levels, as we shall see. Okay, so into the psukim we go. This we saw last week. Vayavo yiravim v'chol ha'am el rechavam bayom hashlishi kasher diber hamelech lemor shuvi elai bayom hashlishi. Right, so they come back on the third day. And as you'll recall from last week, right, that the whole story was Rechavam and Yeravam, right, sort of squaring off, come back in 3 days. So let's just begin by talking about where in Tanakh have we seen this idea of, you know, 3 days, the third day being the decisive day, the decision-making day, the sort of the Rubicon day.
So, the Akedah.
Okay, so we see that at the Akedah. Okay, excellent.
Yaakov and Esav.
Okay, Yaakov and...
But also if Esav is...
Hold on, one at a time. I heard Yitzchak, I heard my mother. So one at a time. Okay, yeah, Mom, go ahead.
I thought that the shepherds of... they were 3 days apart, and they were having this meeting.
Okay, very good. Excellent. So, beautiful. Okay, so when Yaakov and Lavan are figuring out what the exit strategy is going to be, right, they separate, okay, exactly in that fashion, and that's like a forerunner of another incident, which is really modeled on that, when the Jewish people are leaving Egypt, just as Yaakov was leaving his own personal slavery under Lavan. So Paro, you know, hears on the third day that the Jewish people have fled, just as Lavan hears, you know, on the third day that Yaakov is headed off, and he catches him right 3 days later. Okay, so excellent, very good. So these are other examples. Where else do we have? Okay, I think Yitzchak, you had started.
Well, two things. One is that I was thinking that Azav has to be seen three times before they're fully the highest level of a tumah of Azav.
Good.
But also, last week we mentioned that Yerovam was asked for 3 days to think about the answer to whether or not the tax and levy.
Right. Rechavam asked for the...
Rechavam Ravi.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. So that's right. That's what we're working on, right? So the...
What about by Har Sinai?
Very good, right? Matan Torah, that might be the most famous, right? The 3 days so the Jewish people can have their confrontation with Hashem. Okay, excellent. Maybe one other famous case from Tanakh, a point of decision.
Megillat Esther.
Excellent, right. Okay, so those are the ones that I had in mind. You hit all of them, right? So this is a theme that we have in Tanakh, where the third day is a decisive day. And again, this is just a way of helping point us in the direction that we're about to learn tonight is, like, you know, critical. It's a watershed moment. And these Bayom HaShlishi moments in Tanakh are very, right, beginning, as my father was mentioning, with the Akedah, and then continuing on from there, these are meant to be, you know, perceived in that way. Okay, so Vayan HaMelech, he's called the Melech, he wants to very much present himself along these ways, along those lines. Mesa'am Kasha, as you know, we had anticipated from last week. Vayazovis atzas hazakena masher yatzuhu, and he went in a completely different direction from the conciliatory message of the zakenim, right? As they said, imatati yom eved lemazeh, vavaducha liolam, vaydaber alehem ka'atzas hayiladim, right? They've been downgraded to the yiladim, as we noted last week, right? Foolish, inexperienced, lemor, avi hichbires ulchem, vani osif aluchem, avi yisaretchem bashotim, Vani ayaser eschem ba'akrabim. My father, you know, sort of beat you with cords. I'm going to beat you with the, you know, pointed edge of cords. Velo shama hamelech el ha'am. And the king did not listen to the people. Now, this is a challenging expression, so we'll come back to it. Ki aysa siba meim Adonai, leman hakim es tevera, asher diber Adonai biyad achia shiloni al yiravam ben nevat. This is part of what Ruthie wanted to say last week, which is that, you know, part of this was foretold in terms of the nevuah, but as we were saying, no nevuah is ever a foregone conclusion unless it's l'tova, never l'vra'a, right? It required a lot of human error along the way. So, what do we take this to mean? V'lo shama ha-melech el ha'am, that the king did not listen to the people. Let's try to establish at least two possible meanings. Right, the Navi is saying that, you know, Rechavam, right, obviously responded in this confrontational way, but what do we take from that? What's the meaning of this? Of these two possibilities? Effie, go ahead. So what would the two possibilities be? V'lo shama ha-melech el ha'am is describing...
I don't have two, I only have one.
Okay, so give me one. I'll take half a loaf.
Just a pshat, he didn't listen to the people.
Right, very good. In other words, that by responding this way, he wasn't taking into account their...
Their
concerns. Okay, very good. Okay, so that I think that is the pshat. Okay. What's another possibility, Ruthie? What else might it mean? We'd have to read a little bit between the lines, but the Abravanel, in particular, argues strongly for this position. That even after Rechavam came back with this bellicose, pugnacious message, that what did the people do, perhaps? And this requires, you know, a little bit of reading in between the lines. V'lo shama ha-melech el ha'am. This is really important. Effie, go ahead. I think you want.
I haven't come up with anything.
Well, a couple of psukim later, it says, you know, that the people had it with Malchut Beit David. So, you know, presumably there were some rumblings, and Rechavam just didn't get the depth of the objection to this.
Okay, very good. Okay, so we're gonna get to that point. I think that's very important. Okay, but maybe just half a step. That's a half a step ahead of us for now. What's the? Again, just a hint is it requires reading a little bit into the psukim. Like I said, the Abravanel is not hesitant to do this. So if you put yourself in the scene, so Rechavam comes back with this very confrontational message, and then what might the people's response have been? They could have said nothing. Oh, Ellie, is that your hand? Yeah, Ellie, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of reading your Mar Makomos here. I mean, footnote 3, that basically they tried again. And right. And then he still refused to listen to them.
Yeah.
Because there was an unstated plea again from the Yam, and he ignored it.
Right. So the Abravanel writes, as you can imagine, at a great length to support that idea. And he says that, you know, even though, you know, Rechavam had basically done everything possible at this point to indicate that he was, you know, absolutely not interested in any kind of rapprochement or reconciliation, some way of working out an understanding, the people were really not prepared psychologically, emotionally, politically, nationally. I'm going to try to prove the Abravanel's point in a second. To really walk away. This is not what they wanted. And they were pleading with him to understand their grievances, their legitimate needs. Remember, we talked last week about, you know, the problem of privilege in terms of Rechavam's, you know, kind of let them eat cake, you know, surrounded by the Yiladim Asher Gad Lo Ito, these people who... Well, they would have a very hard time relating to people who, you know, struggle to pay taxes, etc. He was, you know, in a way that was inexplicable, completely, you know, unwilling, you know, to understand their desire, their true desire to remain, you know, part of the fold. Okay, so Vayar Kol Yisrael. And, you know, sounds a lot like the Abravanel one. Sorry, Vayar Kol Yisrael, ki lo shama hamelech aleihem. The Jewish people all, they didn't just see, but Vayar here, you know, means they understood. It was clear, there was no two ways about it, that the king was not going to be willing to compromise. Vayashivu ha'ames hamelech davar le'mor, malanu chelek b'David, v'lo nachla b'ven Yishai, le'ohalecha Yisrael. So each man back to his tent. Ata re'e ve'ischa David, vayelech Yisrael le'ohalav. Now this is a critical point, and this is, I think, probably the single greatest misconception when it comes to understanding the schism. Okay? And you find this as a historical pattern, but let's be very, very, very careful. So they say, what portion do we have left in David? What inheritance do we have with the son of Yishai? Each man in Israel back to his tent, and they say, Atar Ebes Cha David. The Medrash says this is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the Beis HaMikdash will only be for you. The simple pshat is, you know, see Rechavam, what is left over to you. Go back to your house. Vayelech Yisrael Olav. And the Jewish people, right, go back each one to their tent. Uvnei Yisrael Yoshvim Ba'arei Yudah, Vayimloch aleihem Rechavam. Right, so the Jewish people who are in Judea, so Rechavam continues to reign over them. Okay, so what do the people do? What do they not do? Okay. This is like the absolutely critical point. And again, like, I think that this is the greatest misconception that we have, you know, regarding the schism and why it's so important to look at these psukim inside. Okay, so, you know, the way that the story is often told is the Jewish people divided, Right. Yehuda remained with Rechavam, and Binyamin was sort of assimilated, incorporated into Yehuda, and the northern tribes split off and they went with Yeravam ben Nevat. Is that what happened? Is that actually an accurate or factual presentation of the events? And by the way, you can cross-check this in Divrei Hayamim, Beis, see the same thing there. What actually happened? Did the people leave Rechavam and join, you know, the nascent Confederate States of Israel? Did they, what did they do? What is their cry? Where does it come from?
Do we know that the people that went back to their tents weren't going back to their tents in Yehuda? I mean, maybe he didn't have a united where do we know that all these people went to the north?
I gather so, right? Because it says La'olacha Yisrael, as opposed to the next pasuk where it says the Jews who were living in Yehuda. But let's pull on that thread a little bit. Do they gather in Richmond? Do they gather in Birmingham? And you know, what do they do?
They psychologically cut themselves off.
Okay, they physically go home. But what's the, this is the critical point, that they're not doing what? What are they not doing?
I need to watch my house, actually. There's no, oh, here.
So, what are they?
They're not supporting him.
Right, they're not supporting Rechavam, but what are their, right, okay.
That it's no for an answer.
Okay, let me give help people along a little bit here. Okay, so let's say there's a fight in a shul. That never happens, okay? So there's a fight in a shul. You know, the people are in a shul, and let's say the shul is called, Kahal Adas Israel. Okay, excellent. All right, so Effie. So there's a fight in the shul. Okay, so one of two things can happen in the fight, right? So half of the shul stays. Then half of the shul can do what? What's the possibility?
They form another one.
They can form another shul. Good. Or maybe before that happens. Right. Okay. Right. There's that. You could just go home. Okay. So what happened here?
They just went home.
Okay. Excellent. This is a very important. This is critical. Where did they get this expression from? Right. This wasn't. They didn't even come up with an original tagline. Okay. When they said "Ein lanu chelek." B'David v'lo nachala b'ven Yishai le'olecha Yisrael. Who is the person that said that? That wasn't even original. They weren't even trying to be original. Who's the one that said that? Where did that line come from? We saw that line last year. That line is from Sefer Shmuel. After the failed rebellion of Avshalom against David. So remember, there's this, you know, short-lived kind of populist movement that's led by Sheva ben Bichri, right? And Sheva ben Bichri says, "Ein lanu chelek beveis David velo nachla beven Yishai le'olecha Yisrael." We should just go back to the way things were before. Meaning, what was before Melucha? What did the Jewish people have? Yeah, le'olecha Yisrael. Exactly, right, Danny? So now it all comes together, right? What are the people saying? The idea isn't to make another shul. The idea isn't to make another melucha. The idea is just to go back to the way things were before. We don't like this, right? At this point, it had been 80 years, 40 of Shlomo, 40 of David, some period of time of Shaul before that. You know, what's old is new, what's new is old. You know, it's enough time for people to forget the problems of the previous system. They only remember the problems now. So they say, who needs a king? Le'olecha Yisrael. Right? That's critically important. This was not, you know, an idea where we're going to start our own melucha. That wasn't the concept. Right? They had no history of that. The idea was an anti-monarchist movement. Now, why does that make sense in context? What was their complaint? What was their, you know, so like, where did they start this? They said, what changes were they, right, militating for? What were their grievances?
Tax reduction.
Right. So Effie, if you're, you know, it's like, you don't have to be, you know, the head of the IMF for this one. So if the whole point is we don't want heavy taxes, right? So is it a good idea to start your own kingdom? No, right? There's like a lot of fixed costs, a lot of startup costs. You know, you got to build a whole new capital. You got to pay for a whole new army, right? You got to pay for a whole new police force, right? So if the idea is smaller governments, and the idea is lower taxes, so you know what you go back to? You go back to the way it was before, where there's nobody sending out his tax collectors, and there's nobody, right, impressing you into forced labor or building projects, right? It's an idea of people asserting more control over their own lives. In other words, le'ohalecha Yisrael, each person to his ohel, each person tachas gafno, tachas te'enaso. Right? The idea wasn't to, you know, recreate Malchus based David in the north, not originally. The idea was to get out from under the thumb, you know, the heavy-handed thumb, mixing my metaphors, but to get out from under the thumb of what they perceive to be onerous. Okay. So that's a very, very important thing, right? We're not going to see anything tonight about Yeravam, you know, becoming the head of this massive entity called Malchus Yisrael. None of that. That wasn't the plan. These people, like I said, psychologically, they didn't go into this meeting with the idea that they were going to, you know, form their own Malchus. They, you know, as the Abravanel argues, they were looking for, you know, sort of changing the rules of engagement with the extant Malchus. The Malbim.
I don't think it was just we're disgusted with what's going on here and let's just get out of here and put the tails between their legs and say, forget about it.
Right, I think that it was. I think that's.
But in doing that, unless they form some other entity, they're still subjects of the king. Wouldn't you be there?
No, you could just, you know, break away.
They would have to form something else. The king is still going to send his tax collectors out.
Oh, okay. So we'll see what happens with that, but. But, you know, you could just say, you know, we're seceding. We're not part of anything else, right? And that appears to be exactly what they did. Okay. Now, Rehavam obviously was caught by surprise. So let's try to understand, if you want reconciliation, if you want to try, if it's still possible, to walk it back, so what might you do?
Concede something.
Right. So you have to make a concession. You have to send some kind of a signal. So anybody want to, you know, Monday morning quarterback Rehavam here? Like, what would you do? what would you do? What would the range of possibilities be?
Partial tax reduction.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I might go
rebate.
Right, yeah. You might go the full, you know, PPP or whatever it was. Everybody gets a check. You know, do something. Right. I might start there.
I hope.
Vanacham l'mdino sasa. Vaitin maseis kiyat hamelech. Right. So, you know, Achashverosh did this stuff all the time. So, you do something. What would be, like, if you had to draw it up, sort of like, what would be the worst thing that you could do?
this point, the worst thing would be to give in 100%.
Okay, well,
you can't concede.
Okay,
or you lose all respectability.
You lose all respect. Well, okay, so these people are like on their way home. Who would they really not want to see?
Soldiers of the king coming
okay,
after
okay,
them?
Soldiers, definitely. That's high on the list. What might even be higher?
Doctors.
What's that, Ruthie?
Tax collectors.
Yeah, I think that would be the number. I think that would be like in the, right, the Family Feud, you know, the number one answer. Right, would be the tax collector. So let's see what happens, okay? All right, very good. So this is Vayishlach HaMelech Rechavam. So he realized he has to do something. Send the messenger. Vayishlach HaMelech Rechavam es Adoram Asher al Hamas. So he sends the tax collector. Now, it doesn't say that he sent him to collect taxes. My personal view is that he actually sent him to bring a message of conciliation. Many of the Mefarshim interpret that way. But he sends the guy who's known as the tax collector. So before he can even sort of, you know, deliver the message, Vayirgamuchol Yisrael bo evan vayamos, and the people stone him to death. Ve'amelech rechavam his amitz, that's the pasuk that we began with, la'alos b'merkava, la'anus Yerushalayim, v'yivshu Yisrael b'veis David ad hayom hazeh. And the Jewish people rebelled against the house of David to this very day. Rechavam flees for his life. You know, watching this scene, right? He sent a tax collector to sort of, you know, go after the people or their representatives, and they turn around and they stone him. So, you know, life is always, you know, tragic. And so here you have this incredible moment when Rechavam is, right, trying to, I think, walk it back, but he sends like the worst possible candidate. He sends the tax collector. and right, it's like this. It's Daniel. It is kind of humorous, right? But what happens before he can even say anything? They stone him because they think that what's he doing?
He's collecting taxes,
as he said he would, right? Like he's totally intransigent. And they stone him to death, and then he panics, that is, Rechavam panics, and he flees to Yerushalayim. So there's this horrible ending, you know the part of this is real, part of this is, but there's this tragic misunderstanding where it takes on a life of its own, where at the moment when Rechavam is finally looking to try to reconcile, He sends the worst possible person who can't even articulate the message, who then gets killed, which sends him into a panic, and he flees to Yerushalayim, and as the Navi says, the rebellion against the house of David never ceased. But again, I want to make it clear, this is a rebellion, meaning throwing off the yoke of David, but not replacing it with anything just yet. Last week we spent a lot of time, you know, discussing exactly this point. That it wasn't, Yeravam didn't insert himself, and the Jewish people didn't, you know, immediately, reflexively, anoint him their king. That's not what happened. That was not yet on the horizon. They hadn't, you know, come to that conclusion. This was an idea of going back to something that the people knew. And that was Le'ohalecha Yisrael. So even for, like, with all of the structural problems here, this is really the point that I wanted to make tonight, and there were significant structural problems. You know, in terms of where the Jewish people were, right? There's always human error at a critical moment. And in the critical moment, by Yom HaShlishi, on this third day, there's a critical critical problem, which is that Rechavam, who starts out in a bad way, you know, following the counsel of the Yeladim, and then doesn't listen as the people try to, like, you know, work something out, and then under pressure, he sends exactly the wrong person, and the people take it in exactly the wrong way, and that sends him, you know, fleeing for his life back to Yerushalayim, and then, like, you know, never the twain shall meet. Now we have, you know, a situation where he's sort of walled off in Yerushalayim, and the people are Le'ohalecha Yisrael, the people are where they are, and, you know, what remains to be seen is what's going to happen. Are they going to organize themselves? What will the impetus for that be? Etc. Okay. I just wanted to return as we, begin to conclude here with the image of the Zav, of the Tumah HaYotze Migufo, the Chazal Si Rechavam, right? This idea of his Merkava, V'chol HaMerkava, Asher Yirkav, Alav HaZav, Yitma. So I wanted to get back to this image of the Zav, which I said is a very significant degree of Tumah. The Zav is an Av HaTumah. And there are unique properties of Azav. There's something called, as we said, Mirkav Azav and Moshev Azav, where it's able to conduct Tumah even without direct contact. Afilu Asara Moshevos, very fascinating subcategory of Tumah. But what's really, I think, very, very critical in this context is the Zav is somebody, as we said, you know, who's cut off not only from the Machana Shechina, from the Machana Leviya as well. In other words, cut off from Har Habayis. And here, I think there's a very important affiliation that Chazal had with Rechavam. And that is to say that he embodies this idea of being cut off from the Beis HaMikdash. The Jewish people would, for generations from this moment on, the vast majority of them, except those in Yehuda, have no further connection with the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, that's the way the Medrash interprets Levescha David, Le'ohalecha Yisrael, Levescha David, now the Beis HaMikdash doesn't belong to us anymore. We have no connection to it. So, Rechavam, the tragedy isn't only like national, political, where the Jewish people are divided, which is, you know, it's obviously tragic in its own right at the level of the Ummah, the level of Am Yisrael, the level of the nation. But the tragedy, I think, even more profoundly, is spiritual. The Jewish people now, Le'ohalecha Yisrael, it's no longer, you know, El Har Habayis, it's no longer El HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. There's no directionality. It's just each man to his own Ohel. You know, and that meaning of Le'ohalecha Yisrael, that idea of the exile from not only the Azara, or the Machane Shechina, as we call it, but Har Habayis, the Machane Leviya, that is really Rechavam's ultimate legacy. The goal of the Melech, of course, was to keep the Jewish people unified, but not as an ends in its own right, as important as unity is, but to keep the Jewish people unified around the idea of Elamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'shakein Shemosham. And this, I think, is really the depths of the tragedy of Rechavam. Right? If Shlomo's greatest achievement, of course, was building the Beis HaMikdash, nobody can take that away for all of his failings. So then the next generation, Le'ohalecha Yisrael L'veischa David, the Jewish people cut off from the very, you know, Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo endeavored to build all those 7 years that he did in fulfilling his father's dream. So now it's no longer that, it's not merely that they're no longer connected to Malchus Beis David, but the entire, you know, raison d'etre of Malchus Beis David, that is David's dream, which became Shlomo's reality of building the Beis HaMikdash, no longer has any relevance to the Jewish people. And again, from this, we think about, you know, it took many, many generations, and it did, for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. But for the vast majority of the Jewish people, this day, this Bayom HaShlishi, was their last day of connection to the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to take us a while to understand how this happened. It's going to be like a comedy or a tragedy of errors, as you will. But Yeravam is going to, amongst, when he is elevated to a position of power, he's going to formalize this through banning the Jewish people from going to Har HaBayis, of making Aliyah L'Regel. So this day was the last day that the Jewish people writ large were ever connected to the Beis HaMikdash. And again, this isn't just during the period of Bayis Rishon, but during Bayis Sheni as well. Bayis Sheni, there was virtually, it would get a fragment of the Jewish people returned from Bavel, just a small portion, 20,000 or so, and the vast majority of the Jewish people never returned, and never had any connection, never any further connection with the Beis David, with the Beis HaMikdash, Leveischa David, Le'ohalecha Yisrael. This represented a dramatic turning point in Jewish history. The end of the connection after 80 years with Malchus Beis David, and then after 36 years of interaction with the Beis HaMikdash, with Shlomo having built it in the fourth year of his reign, started to build it, and then obviously, 7-year process, but the point is that the Jewish people really lost the opportunity to ever connect with the Beis HaMikdash heretofore. So this is like a Yom HaShlishi decisive moment in Jewish history, not in a good way, but Rechavam, the Zav embodied, the persona of the Zav, cut off from not just the Beis HaMikdash but Har HaBayis itself, that becomes his lasting place in Jewish history. So God willing, what we'll take a look at next week is how we get from how we get from Le'ohalecha Yisrael, how we get from this kind of a disparate, just a populist movement where it's not about any organizing, principle of sovereignty, but really just the people rejecting that and rejecting the heavy hand of that centralization, how we get from there to, Yeravam. That's a very critical story. It wasn't a foregone conclusion at all. So that's the story we'll begin to tell next week.
All right.